Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 442, The Sanctuary.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And I'm bored.
I'm so bored. This is boring.
Like, I've been going on about how I was dreading this season because it's so bad. And again, I assure you, it will get bad. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first half was okay and a little slow. And the second half, first it was real boring, then it was real bad. And we're starting to get into that now.
At this point, I'm just like, bring on the stupid part, you know?
Yeah.
Because the boring part is really wearing on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just get into it. I don't know how you managed to tease a pretty sizable paragraph out of The Sanctuary, but you did. So why don't you tell us?
Well, Al, I'm a professional.
You are?
Uh-huh. All right. So The Sanctuary, not to be confused with Sanctuary, the Deep Space Nine episode.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Uh-huh. So we open with Georgiou in sickbay getting variously examined by Dr. Culber to figure out just what the hell is wrong with her. Physically, I mean. Mentally, she's clearly infected by what we in the medical community call a bad attitude, and she will not be receiving a lollipop or a chance to dig through the prize drawer when this checkup is all finished. And I have it on good authority that there's a real Batman decoder ring in there. Meanwhile, Book arrives to frantically tell Michael that his homeworld and brother are both being threatened by the Emerald Chain. Surprising everyone, Saru and Admiral Vance both agree that something should be done about that, and they send Disco off to examine the situation. They also bring along Rin, the Andorian former slave from last episode? Two episodes? Who can even tell anymore? The season sure is running together. Anyway, the chain, and especially its leader? Osira is looking for Rin, so let's keep that dude real close to where they can find him. They arrive at Book's homeworld, Michael and he beam down, and Book instantly gets into a dick-measuring contest with his brother, Kaheem, a well-known dog person. After some fighting, Osira arrives to threaten literally everybody in the entire show. She even throws her nephew into a pit with a monster, showing everyone that she, too, has seen Return of the Jedi. What a dastardly villain. Osira blows up a bunch of forests like she's the Captain Planet villain. And speaking of Star Wars, Detmer and Rin do a trench run on Osira's ship, driving her away and shaking her fist. Oh, we'll see her again, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Georgiou is dying of something, but not fast enough for my taste, and Adira finally comes out as Star Trek's first transgender person that isn't a weird alien. I mean, they are a weird alien, but you know what? Never mind. A win is a win.
Okay, so obviously you're more of an authority on this. Are NBs considered trans?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Like,
go
whatever.
Into the whole, yeah.
I don't care. Like, it doesn't, I just want to know what the right label is. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, as far as I know.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to save this. I got a whole rant about that.
Mm-hmm.
And effectively, the way it plays out in this episode is, call me they. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. Fine. Yeah.
Stamets has got the most proud gay dad look I've ever seen, and just like, oh, okay. He's got that Anthony Rapp facial expression, you know, when he's not being grumpy. Okay.
Yeah, weirdly, Anthony Rapp has a real easy time making that face, that Anthony Rapp face.
Yeah. Well, who would be better?
And he turns the chair backwards and says, let's Anthony Rapp. The thing is, and we're going to
Crow, you are
this,
my brother.
we're going to get into this more in the subsequent episodes, but it starts here.
Yes.
That, Hugh and Paul are saying, what a nice kid. And then immediately saying, well, they're not really a kid. And technically they are. Like they are starting to think in terms of being dads, being Adira's dads. And that's great on the one hand, but I was thinking about how this contrasts with a problem with basically this kind of leads into my bad thing. It's nothing to do with Adira, but Osira is like a 12-year-old head of a mafia family.
She sure the fuck is.
So, I've been saying this all along. I've said, brace yourself. Osira sucks. Mm-hmm. And but she doesn't exactly suck. She's just nothing.
Yeah.
It's not like she's a bad performer. It's not that. It's like she, it's not even that she doesn't have screen presence. She does. If she was mm-hmm. some mid-level officer on Discovery, I feel like she'd be a lot of fun.
Mm.
But we're expected to believe this person who reads very much as under 30 to me.
Oh, yeah.
Is the head of an interstellar criminal empire, and I just don't buy it. It's the exact opposite of the Adira problem, where Adira mm-hmm. reads as, yes, they look young, but some of that might be the sort of, I don't want to say it wrong, but like the lack of gender presentation,
sure.
the androgyny kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes for me, it makes mm-hmm. it difficult to get a read on someone's age when they're not presenting traditional like gender stuff. And that's, you know, that's a problem. Like mm-hmm. I should get over that. But that is a thing. Like it's
sure.
But nevertheless, like talking about Adira like they're a small child and then talking about Osyra like she's a big, scary, seasoned, you know, threat.
Yeah, this
like,
is the scariest woman we've ever met.
No. She reminds me very much of our mutual friend Christy, who is a stand-up comic and a delightful person, but
yep,
also
yep.
I would not cast as a terrifying, like, villain of this sense, you know?
No, like, although I would like to see her kill her nephew with a giant tapeworm.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that would be fun for all of us.
Sure. I probably already made this point, too. Like, there is a continuum of sort of giggly girl type villains
mm-hmm.
Where Vadic is at one end and is yep. amazing. And mm-hmm. then Osyra at the other end is just kind of like it's not because I thought, oh, am I being kind of low key sexist about that? No, mm-hmm. it's not that because we just had an example of someone who has this kind of similar vibe. And it helps that she's older. But
the thing is, like, they've been building her up for at least a few episodes. Like,
yes.
The name Osyra has been around for a while. It's just like, oh, you got to watch out for Osyra.
Yeah, either Osyra or Emerald Chain, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she finally shows up, and you're just like, oh, it's a green woman. All right.
Yeah, it's like, just another Orion.
I mentioned this. Like, she does the whole fucking feeds her nephew to a fucking transworm, and it's like, who the fuck cares, you know? Like, I've seen yep. this shit a billion times. It's not interesting. Like, you're trying to make her come off as, like, a whole big deal, and there's just nothing here.
But on the other hand, if Vadic had done that, it would have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vadic had something going on. She was fucking weird, and that yep. results in creativity.
That's true.
Like, she's exactly the same. Like, they both are like, hey, I have a billion guns strapped to my ship. But Vadic owned that. Like, she yeah. was so much fun. She was so fucking weird, making weird little... Like, I will think about that character for the rest of my life. I will mm-hmm. not think of Osyra again ever. And she's coming back next week.
Oh, yeah. She looms large over the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I still, like, she'll be there and like, well, who's this one again? Oh, yep. right, her.
Yeah, if she was playing, like, a bridge officer or something like that, somebody with, you know, not captain level, but someone with some authority, I would buy
someone,
it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, she's, she doesn't work in this role.
Yeah, it's, like, you've got to give us something here. And she's, there's been so many sci-fi crime bosses, you know, I've seen a yep. trillion of them. You've got to do something to have her stick out, and it can't just be that she's green, you know. Like,
and also,
I've even seen green crime boss. Like, it's all been done, man. Give me something here.
Well, this whole episode is just cliche after cliche, and we can get sure. into more of that in a minute. I just want to sort of finish talking about her first, and like, the have we seen a successful like a legitimately scary crime boss in Star Trek ever?
In Star Trek ever? Fuck, DS9 must have had someone.
I don't think so. Even when they tried to do, like, they did Orion stuff and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, they, you know, Quark dealt with some shady guys, but Quark was the most interesting guy. So, like,
yeah,
it was
maybe not.
Like, I feel like this goes with Star Trek always trying to do that Star Wars bar scene thing.
It's oh,
like,
yeah.
Whenever you guys sort of stray from the we are effectively an army or, you know, navy, whatever, and we're facing against another similar force who is also a military, that works, or a strange alien that we don't understand, that works, or a force of nature, that works, but like mm-hmm. when it's crime people, it doesn't usually land for me.
Yeah, no,
it sucks, but here we are.
And I just, like, I get the appeal too. Just like, yeah, no, this is different now. We're in the future. It's like we're doing a whole like frontier thing and everything.
Well, yeah,
but
the
like,
fact that we no longer have the safe system that we always had. Everything broke down. And what happens historically is people exploit that. And like when Prohibition went into effect here, we suddenly had a lot more, you know, organized crime. And like when things would fall apart at the high seas, you'd have piracy. Like I get all that. But like, it doesn't work. I don't care.
Yeah. You can't do the thing where everyone's like, look out for this person. They're scary. And then they show up and they're nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. Yeah. She's a real outrageous O'Connor.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to being outraged by her for the rest of the season.
Outrageous Osyra.
Yeah, huh? This is great. Also, her ship is called the Viridian because green.
Oh, boy. I didn't catch that. That's a good catch.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like, really, guys? Like, you already called it the Emerald Chain, and like, okay, fine. You know? Like, that's the thing? Fine. But like, come on.
No, it's just
take
like,
more than 1 second to think about this, okay?
It's just like the Ferengi ears. Like, okay, someone looked at a drawing of this alien and said, this is the one thing about them. And like,
yeah, we'll call this the lobe. We'll call it the lobe.
Sure. These guys, they're really into Lisa Loeb.
Yeah.
And the Emerald Chain just keeps singing, it's not easy being green.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's not, but...
I don't know. I never have been. Might be.
Yeah. Now I just wish the crime boss everyone was afraid of was Kermit the Frog.
That would be so much more intimidating.
I'm going to feed you to Sweetums, who I keep in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You are with us now.
What was your bad thing?
I will destroy Discovery and all who dwell upon it.
Yay!
All right.
What was your bad thing?
So after a couple of weeks, or possibly just 1 week, Georgiou's back to being just incredibly annoying again. Like, we're getting towards the end, as far as I can tell, of her "What's Wrong with Me" arc.
Yeah, next week mostly, we do a big two-parter to deal with that. Yeah. So yes.
Which, and I assume once that's over, like, she's gone, and thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is, to keep that plot sort of in everybody's mind, we have to have her spend the entire episode with Dr. Culber, and just every word out of her mouth is, fuck you, I could kill everyone on this ship. And even the crew at this point are just like, yeah, whatever.
There's a bit where she says, or someone asks about her medical history, like, what was your mother like or something? And
yeah.
She's like, I killed her. And Michael says it along with her. I killed her. No, you didn't.
Yep. It's just like, okay. It's like, I kind of like that everyone on the ship is just like, all right.
Yeah. Okay, Philippa.
Uh-huh. It's like, look, even I can predict your stupid fucking things at this point.
It's like, yes, okay, you were powerful in an entirely other universe. Here you are nothing.
Like, you sure took the air out of that genocidal monster.
You're just an old lady with headaches. Like, calm down and let's figure out the headaches, old lady.
No. What if instead I fought you?
Okay.
I'm going to kick some legs. All right.
Well, and this goes into my good thing, actually. I continue to appreciate them giving Hugh more to do. Like, those interactions with Georgiou are great. Like, at a couple of points, he basically says, fuck, fine, die then.
Yeah, I don't fucking care.
First, do no harm, and I'm not doing any harm. But if you're not letting me help you, walking away is no longer my problem.
I mean, let's be real. If you just die, then a lot less harm is going to be done. So really, this is a win for me.
Yeah, this is like a Hippocratic, like it's a wash as far as Hippocrates goes. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, I think Hippocrates is going to be on my side on this one.
Yep.
Yeah, she sucks.
And there's a point where Michael's in danger on the planet and it's red alert and the ship's shaking and we cut to Georgiou and we know as the audience, oh, the next beat is her running to steal a shuttle or jumping in the transporter or something. And instead, she bumps right into Hugh, who's standing there with his hands on his hips with two security guys behind him saying, get the fuck back in sick bay. You're not going to help Michael right now.
What are you doing? Your brain is exploding.
It's just, it's a, like, there's a runner through this episode, and I find it very tiresome, and I believe you did too, and we'll get to that in a minute. A very, very self-aware Star Trek, like,
oh, God.
We get it. But this particular thing of him recognizing this character's patterns and heading them off, like, is very good. I enjoy it.
Yep. I appreciate that.
I've said in the past that Hugh, I thought he was a little like one of the weaker members, and I did think that. But this season, they've gone a long way to fixing that for me. Like, I don't feel like that anymore. I feel like, if anything, I know him better than most of the bridge crew at this point. And I like
it. I've talked about this, like, the empathy he keeps showing, like, in this show, which is a part of him I really like. I also like that translates in this to, like, no, look, I'll help you because I have to, but, like, shut up.
Well, the vibe I definitely get is a veterinarian.
Oh, yeah. Ha!
Because this dog will not stop trying to bite him, and he just wants to get that pill in its mouth so it'll stop foaming at the mouth or whatever. And what really brought that home for me was Giorgio was not responding to anything that he and other poor unnamed doctor who is just there for someone to for you to talk to, but gets no character development whatsoever. You know that lady.
Oh, yeah. She's been around since season one, I think. Yeah,
she seems cool, but I don't know shit about her.
Yeah,
like she's just like one of the bridge officers. But they're getting nothing out of her. And then we cut somewhere and we cut back and Michael's there now. And Giorgio's calmed down a little bit. And it's exactly like the vet trying to do something for your pet and it's not working. So they're like, we need to bring the owner in here. The owner calms them enough so that we can give them the shot or whatever. And that's Michael. Michael's like, okay, Philippa, calm down. You're just going to feel a little pinch and then it'll be okay.
They're going to give you your shot and it's going to be fine.
No, I don't. Yes, I know. I know. We're all very scared. It's okay.
You're very threatening. We're all very terrified of you.
Yep.
I've eaten people before. We know you've eaten people before.
Yeah.
And yet we keep letting you do things.
Unnamed doctor over there is just shaking her head saying, I've scanned her stomach. She's never eaten a person. That's just talk. I
would love that. Just like,
yeah, we've thoroughly scanned her digestive tract to see if she's ever eaten a sentient creature because there's certain traces that would be behind, and she never has. That's just all bluster.
That's cute.
Yep. Which would be funny if we didn't see her eat a Kelpian before, but
yeah exactly.
What was your good
everybody's
thing?
Favorite character? Michael's best friend.
Well, yeah, apparently. What was your good thing?
I really enjoyed Detmer's trench run on this one.
You really like when they do Star Wars stuff, I guess.
It turns out, and like, if you ask me, I feel like I'd be annoyed with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, this is the most I've gotten to see her do this season. Like, this episode is so fucking boring. But
it really
like,
is. We haven't even gotten to the incredibly dull, basically mullety rebels on Book's planet yet.
Like, I was so checked out. Like, I finished up this episode and Mal was like, how was Star Trek? And I was like, I don't fucking know.
I need to remind you at this point, and I'll have to remind you a few more times, season 4 is genuinely good.
Look, I'm very excited for it.
I don't want to oversell it because it's not perfect, but there's some genuinely great Star Trek stuff that we haven't seen in a long time. Like, I don't think we've seen in any of the seasons of Picard or any of the seasons of Disco yet. Like, There's good stuff ahead. Trust me.
No, listen, I'm down. Like,
then 5 might be garbage again. I've heard very little buzz on that. I don't know.
Sure.
But 4 is good. So,
but like, you know, they brought me back with a fucking spaceship action sequence. Like, I'm not made of stone over here. And I'm watching and I'm just like, God, I really like Detmer a lot. Like, I've said this a million times this season, but God, I wish they gave her more to do. Like,
oh, we said it in seasons 1 and 2. Also, it's just been a while because we took a long break, but we've always felt this way.
Great actor.
Yeah.
The look is so good. Like, the weird eye is so good. It just, it's a great design, you know?
And she's one of those people, and I mean this as a high compliment. She already looks a little like an alien.
Yeah, she's like
she's got the big eyes, is all I mean.
Yeah.
Like, what's her name from Garfunkel and Oates, the blonde?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, both of them look like aliens, like hot aliens, but in different ways.
You are not wrong.
But the taller one, like...
Yeah, just Ricky something.
Yeah, Lindholm, I think.
Yeah, yes. All right, good. We both got one of them.
Yeah, But that, like, there's a certain sort of face shape with the larger eyes that just
means
is like, you know, very pretty, but a little alien. And she's got mm-hmm. that head shape, and they lean into that with her implant and things. And I think it makes her look even cooler, you know?
So, like, you know, I'm just glad to have her do something.
And they didn't just give her an action sequence. Like, they did give her that. Mm-hmm. But they also gave her a little bit of character because the Andorian dude's with her, and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm just fucking all this up. I'm just dragging you down. And she's like, mm-hmm. no, you are clearly, I didn't know this, but I guessed based on context clues, mm-hmm. you're the only one who stood up to scary Osira. And like, that means you're brave. And that means I want you here helping me because I need someone brave here. And like, she gives him a nice little pep talk, and it's like, oh, there's a little bit of character in Detmer. Like, she's got that Starfleet, I'm gonna like inspire someone thing, and like,
yeah,
it's cool. I liked it.
And I love that.
Yeah.
The bit afterwards where he's like, all I ever heard about the Federation is that they just take and they take and they take. And mm-hmm. just like, it was
Who
so
told
nice.
You that? Well, Osira.
Yeah. She says a lot of things. I don't think, looking back, I don't think she's the friend she told me she was.
Yeah. I mean, she did chop off my antenna, but you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, Rin, sometimes you need to cut the toxic people out of your body.
Yes.
Or out of your life. Mm, in much the same way that they cut the antenna off of your body.
Right. Good save.
Uh-huh. Nailed it.
No, it was
doing great.
It was good that we got about 5 minutes of Detmer, but
yeah.
What if they did a Detmer-centric episode?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Detmer and Owoshiken, because those two are like BFFs, and they could go on a mission together. We could just follow them, and the B story could be Michael and the captain.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe Michael could take a week off. Just a thought.
That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like Michael still, but this season
I do too.
But this season she's at peak insufferable, I gotta say.
Yeah.
And I think when we lose Georgiou, some of that will go away mm-hmm. because she will no longer be sympathetic to Georgiou. But mm-hmm. she still got her, this is a, like, she basically goes to Starfleet headquarters and says, my boyfriend's got a problem at his planet. That needs to be our top priority now. And everyone has to drop everything.
And, like, unlike every other episode, they're both, like, I mentioned this in the summary, Saru and Vance are both just like, yeah, no, we should definitely go help this planet.
Well, at one point, Vance says, yeah, that's the situation on, like, 30 other planets. Why should this be the priority? And then they make a decent case for it. But it's still, like, Michael just drives the action. She's been demoted, and she's still, you know.
Again, there's been no consequences to her being demoted at all, you know?
Not really, no. So
I just like the idea of her coming in. It's like, Book's planet's in trouble. And Vance just like, Book's in trouble? Fuck, drop everything.
Who's Book?
I love that guy.
Yeah, well, despite this episode, I still do love mm-hmm. him, but they went to great pains to make me not.
Oh, man, they tried to make him so boring.
Here's where he comes from, and here's his brother and his mm-hmm. cause and, like, some bugs that he can sing to, and, like, I don't care about any of this.
I was thinking just Book's brother comes from a long line of extremely boring Star Trek brothers.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Not just you.
Oh, no. Worf's brother who kidnapped a bunch of pre-warp people and put them on the holodeck.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I liked Picard's brother. You thought it was hilarious that he burned to death, but I liked
him. I still think it's hilarious that he burned to death.
I liked him. But War. He's... And we're getting to, like, Peter Kirk, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
That's so, for a character that in the original series was literally thrown away.
Yes, who was like, we won't even cast someone. We'll just get mm-hmm. Shatner to put on a mustache and lie on the ground for a minute.
Uh-huh. A character who, in one of the later Star Trek movies, Kirk actually goes, I had a brother once. Mm-hmm. I lost him, but he was returned to me. I'm like, you had an actual brother.
Yeah, you lost him, and he's still dead.
He was killed by flying pancakes, and you didn't give a shit.
Nope. Yes, but is Spock okay? Well, he's blind for a minute, but he'll be fine.
Whatever.
Wow, I remembered more about that episode than I thought.
Yes. Do you remember what it was called? It's a great title.
Operation Annihilate.
Yep, great episode. Well, great title.
God, I'm losing so much of my actual memory, and it's genuinely a little worrying, but I remember so many things about Star Trek.
So when Mal and I had been dating for like a year or something, she bought me a really nice, like, limited edition poster that's just the cat, like every character that's ever been on the original.
Oh, I remember that poster. It's great.
It's a great poster. I've still got it hanging up in our bedroom.
Yeah.
And when she gets bored, she'll like point at someone on it and go, "Who's that?" And I'll tell her, because that's how my brain works.
Yep.
I don't remember anything that's ever happened to me, but I can tell you who that guy from that one episode is.
Yes.
And she said to me one time, "What are the flying pancakes?" And I go, "Well,
those are just flying pancakes.
Those are just flying pancakes. They killed Kirk's brother."
I don't know if they had a name, and if they did, I don't remember it, but those are the flying pancakes from Operation Annihilate. I had a similar poster. It was drawn by Alex Ross of the DC characters, the Crisis thing.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes ask you, who's prominent crotch boy? And you're like, well, in the Golden Age, it was prominent crotch boy Junior. And that's where our beloved character, prominent crotch boy Junior, came from.
I adore everybody in the entire show poster. I've got like four of them.
We have someone right now working on one of those for Endeavor, actually.
Yeah.
So, not maybe under the best circumstances, but still.
No, I don't love that.
Yeah. So, this was...
The fuck were we talking about? This boring episode?
This was Tilly's first episode as first officer.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, we both think it's really dumb, but also, this is the show, so let's see what you got. And what you got is, let's spend the whole episode talking about what Saru's catchphrase on the bridge will be.
I fucking hated that so much.
This will make me take Tilly more seriously. That's her top priority, huh?
It's so dumb. And the other thing is, like, I can't remember where, but I know someone's done this before in a Trek. And
oh yeah,
like, it was boring then too.
Yep, I agree.
It's like, you got to make a big deal out of the thing you say. You're engaged. You're Pike says punch it. It's such a Lower Decks conversation to have in not Lower Decks.
But also, not every captain has that. In fact, most of them don't. Picard was really the one. Like, everyone remembers engage and make it so. But, like, Kirk didn't really have one thing that he said all the time.
No.
And, like, Sisko didn't. And I can't think of one for Janeway. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, let's do Picard again. And like, okay.
Yeah, fucking whatever, you know?
I mean, you might be thinking of Picard, the end of Picard season 3, when Seven's thinking about what her thing should be.
That's right. That's what it is.
Which, that's not this show's fault. It hadn't happened yet.
So yeah.
That was Picard revisiting that well that was already dry.
All right, fine. I'm not mad about that. Well, you know what? I'm still kind of mad about this because it's still stupid.
It shouldn't come up at all.
I'm going to retroactively go back and be mad about that in whatever episode of Picard that was.
I was the final, like, it was the final minutes of the final episode.
Okay, well, go back and listen to that episode and just at the end imagine me going, and by the way.
Yeah. But it's such a nothing thing, and it's like, they get a cute moment kind of out of Saru trying to sound cool, but like, it's, again, if we're meant to take Tilly seriously in this role, we need to see her doing the job seriously and not making one of her top items, what's the cute thing you're going to say? That's
yeah, exactly. And, like, it doesn't feel like a thing Saru would think about.
Oh, I disagree with that.
You think? Okay.
Because we have seen a number of examples of him whenever he's unsure, whenever he goes into an uncertain social situation, he does mounds of research.
That, you know what? That is true.
And it's cutely awkward. Genuinely, to me, it is cutely awkward. I just think they took it too far here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that he's like, I don't know what these humans want. I don't want to let anyone down, so I better read about it a lot. And that's cute. It's very earnest and it's very sweet.
Computer, who are the best Starfleet captains?
That's where that came from, yeah, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But there have been other examples of it, too. And it is a thing, but it's a thing he should be doing on his own, and it's a thing that shouldn't dominate 5 to 10 minutes of this episode.
It sticks out so much, you know?
It does. It does. And everyone on the bridge looking at each other like, oh, what a dork. That is your captain. Come on.
Nerd.
This is not a sitcom. You can't do that. Like,
womp, womp.
It's cute every now and then, but you have to respect the guy, man.
Yeah.
Tilly did have one good first officer moment, though, when they bring
Rin gets
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, who's the captain on this ship? And she's like, you will address the captain with respect. And he's like,
yeah.
Shit. And he's actually a little scared of Tilly. He's like, shit. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. May I please speak to the captain? And which yeah. of you is it?
Yeah. More of that, please. Just to like, again, it's her first episode as like first officer. Like,
yeah. It's like when you're in prison, you have to hit the biggest guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's got to be mean for a second.
Yeah.
So we take her seriously.
Go downstairs and punch Giorgio to show dominance.
Yes. Oh, that
ideally,
would be so
while
cool.
She's unconscious.
Then it doesn't matter because it will spread around the ship. Oh, did you hear? We all underestimated Tilly, but since she became first officer, she punched Giorgio. No. Yeah, she did.
What, her?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
In fact, I heard that Giorgio was laid out on the sickbay table after that. I mean, mm-hmm. she was before that, too. But, you know how rumors
People
work.
Don't need to know that part.
Yeah, exactly.
She hit her so hard they had to put her into a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
A sparkly jumpsuit. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Imagine how undignified that was for her.
Uh-huh.
A sparkly jumpsuit with the ass exposed because medicine hasn't changed that much.
Nope, not really.
What else?
What else? Do we want to get into the whole book of it all?
I mean, we can.
Let's do this quick.
Is there much to say? His planet is boring. His people are boring. It's all mm-hmm. boring.
Yeah, no, we meet Book's brother, and he's just...
Mm-hmm. He's a mulleted
rebel.
A lot of
yelling. Yeah, he shouldn't have left. I needed to leave.
He's a hot 21st century version of a mullet. Like, he doesn't literally have a mullet. He's an attractive man, but he's
still... No, he just has mullet vibes.
Yeah, but it's still... They're all wearing all black,
mm-hmm.
and they're all... Like, there's a point where they're in the woods just growling at each other.
Yep.
And it's such a... Like, ugh.
With their wood guns that shoot darts.
Yep.
It's just... Ugh.
Yep.
I thought I had more to complain about here, but just, I don't care. I don't care about any of these people.
No, and Book, they really hooked me, one, with, mm-hmm. like, look at him. Two, listen to him. Three, mm-hmm. watch his chemistry with Michael. Like, he's such a good, like, right out of the box, like, mm-hmm. he's superficially great. But then you get to know him a little and watch him in action, and it's like, no, he's cool. And he's got these sort of Disney Prince vibes where, like, mm-hmm. if he's standing in a forest, birds will just sort of land on him and start singing. Yeah. And, like, it's cute. Like, I like how much he loves his cat and how he's really dedicated to saving animals. It's mm-hmm. a nice spin on the tough, scowly, you know, loner thing. It's mm-hmm. we haven't exactly seen this, and he's so great. And then we're like, okay, now let's go to where he's from. Oh no. Mm-hmm. Oh, you built him up so well, and I don't care about any of this.
Mm-hmm. I'll use my magical glowing dots to tell
there's
shrimp what to do.
They're sea locusts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can call them whatever you want, but they're just glowy dots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were cool looking glowy dots, I guess.
Yeah, the show's still got a mm-hmm. got a good aesthetic and good effects guys and a good design department. Like, the look of the show has never been mm-hmm. our problem, ever.
But also, you know, let's walk through the woods of Vancouver and sing these sea locusts away.
Uh-huh. Fine.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dull. It's just
dull. They have not brought up enough of Book's ability to talk to the animals, because as far as I know, it's only happened once.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a while ago.
The first episode of the season.
He's like, I tried singing the sea shrimp away, and I was like, is that a thing? Fucking, okay, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you should have mentioned this again.
Mm-hmm. No, and at one point, they're fighting with sticks, like actual, not fighting sticks, but twigs, mm-hmm. branches that have fallen off of trees.
Yeah, like wood they found in the woods.
Like, go pick yourself, find yourself a switch. Back when it was cool to beat your kids. You know what I'm talking about.
Bringing the emerald chain to the homeworld. That's a paddling.
See, now Jasper, he would have been a much more much more believable, like, oh, well, yeah, nobody crosses that guy.
What a time to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now that puts him on Discovery.
He
came into the future with the rest of them. Oh, what a time to be alive.
Yep, they crack open the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Behold the ravages of age. also, the The planet the book is from is called Qui-Gon, I think?
I guess?
Qui-John, I think it is, but it's basically... Okay, whatever.
Guys, maybe let's back off on the Star Wars references a little.
No! Crime family! She's mad because Book stepped on her car or something.
Yep.
One of those dumb Han Solo things.
Why'd you step on my car, Book? I don't know.
I don't know. It's on my way somewhere, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
The cat shed all over my car.
She's a queen.
We know.
Imagine if Han went around singing about Chewbacca. He's a queen. They are.
But it instantly made Solo a watchable movie.
Yeah. No, it had a lot of problems.
No, that movie sucks. That's a bad movie.
Donald Glover as Lando was good.
Only good thing about that movie.
No. Fleabag as the droid, which I don't think you're familiar with her. But
I am not familiar with Fleabag. But
God, you got to watch Fleabag.
I mostly that movie ended, and I was like, okay, so like the droid who fights for like. Droid rights and everything, you just lobotomized her and made her into your it trapped her in your fucking ship.
Yep.
Gross.
Because we wanted to explain this one line where 3PO said your ship has a strange way of talking. So like now we've come up with the secret origin for that.
Yeah, fucking
cool. Yep.
I hate that movie.
It's not good.
No.
I continue to enjoy seeing Paul and Hugh just being a cute couple. Like they keep coming back to that, and I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I do genuinely like Michael and Book. They've only been together a couple weeks, and they're hitting it's early in the relationship, and they love everything about each other, that honeymoon phase. They're hitting that real well, I gotta say. Like, they have good chemistry, but it's also that Michael has trouble handling her grown-up emotions, I think we can agree.
You don't say.
Probably because she was raised by Vulcans.
Probably.
But when she's in love, she just goes... completely, you know, like she is in love. Like that's all is. And I kind of like that about her. I just don't like that she gets, she's just allowed to do whatever the fuck she wants. But like the character's motivations make sense to me. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I just like, I mean, this is the thing. Like Michael is such a well-realized character.
Yes.
Like, everything about her, you know?
Yes. I understand where she's coming from. The performer sells it. It's just, the other characters' reactions to her don't make sense to me.
That's the thing, is like you need to suffer some kind of consequences for your various crimes, Mike.
Yeah, also, one of the first things you told us about this character when the show started was that she's going to jail because she can't control her shit. Like, so we put it in our heads early on, consequences. And that just went away.
Yeah, she'll never have any.
Yeah.
Ever.
But... I like this early, like I say, the honeymoon phase. They're hitting that real well. But I'm worried because anytime something's going well for Michael, it feels like the inevitable setup for something's going horribly wrong between them. Which,
oh yeah,
I don't remember this. Like I've seen this season and next season, and I don't remember what happens with them, honestly. But just knowing what I know about how the show operates, Paul and Hugh are going to be happy together because they don't want to fuck that up again.
No, they already got in trouble for that one, so now they're just a perfect relationship.
That's fine. Good. I've always been in the school of you just need to normalize that. If you show two men married and happy and just being a cute couple, that will go a lot further than pounding the ground and saying, look at them. Look who they are. Like, I mean, there's something to be said for that in other shows, but I think in Star Trek in the ideal future, you need to just say, no. It's just a thing. It's just a normal
these are
thing.
Just, like, no one cares.
These
like,
two are in love, and, they happen to be men, so what?
Yeah, this has been a thing, like, we've had this for thousands of years, or hundreds of years.
Well, I mean, we've had gay since we've had people, but, you
know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. But, yeah, I just worry that this Michael and Book stuff is just there so that it can then go sour, and...
I mean...
I hope that's not the case, but I'm sure you feel it, too, that...
I mean, yeah, that's how drama works, you know? Like,
it doesn't have to, though.
No, it doesn't have to, but like...
This episode is, like I said, just a series of predictable beats strung together, and they don't have to do that.
No. You guys can do better than this.
For a show that is trying to be so self-aware with, like, the what's my catchphrase going to be, they are not aware of all the boring-ass things that they're repeating from other shows.
It's like you can't be do that and also have TV Tropes open so you can pick and choose the best tropes to use for your show.
Mm-hmm. Like, you and I together have made 26 episodes of a self-aware Star Trek fanfic series, and I'm kind of tired of the whole self-aware thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
If it had, if we had continued with that, I probably would have started not doing it anymore.
Yeah. It just, like, again, you've given us such an interesting new place to spend our time, you know? Like, this is such a good universe to set Star Trek in, and it's just the same crap over and over and over
again. Well, let's see. We've got someone in a leather coat yelling at us, and Georgiou's still hanging around. Okay. And her face is turning into a drop of water somehow.
Yep, well, sometimes that happens, you know?
That doesn't make a lick of sense. She should be dead, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
No, her face is now water.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Just a quick note. I went to go see if there was any trivia or anything on Memory Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
As we do when we remember to, just like, see if there's any talking points. I've had a couple of interesting things pop up now and then.
Yes.
This episode had no trivia on it at all, other than, like, such and such character does not appear in this episode. Like, they Cyric Lofton
Jet Reno?
Yeah, or whatever. Yep. Like, nothing. So I got to assume that we are not the only people who are utterly bored by this.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. What are you going to
do?
Well,
I don't know.
Next week, we are actually covering a two-parter, and we're going to do both parts at once. And me, of about a year ago, thought it was a good idea to do that in the plan, and I don't know why I did it, but we're locked in now, so.
Damn you, Al of the past. You fucked me again.
He usually knew what he was doing, I got to say. Mm-hmm. But, like, the problem is the Lower Decks episodes we're doing, which you can get to via our Patreon, by the way.
You sure can.
Are numbered as if they are the next episodes after Discovery, which means those numbers are sort of set. And that means we can't split it in two without screwing all that up. So, like, it's not that big of a deal. I can change anything I want. It's our show. But,
yeah.
We might as well just get it out of the way because I know it's kind of an unpleasant one. But
fucking rip that Band-Aid off.
Tilo will be joining us for that, so that'll make it more pleasant for us. The episodes are Terra Firma, parts 1 and 2, so. And we're going to deal with the whole Georgiou thing. And
Terry Firma.
Yeah, very good. or Terrence Firma, if you must.
Uh-huh, I must.
Okay.
Because it amuses me.
Yes, I know. And the first appearance of the Guardian of Forever since City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And it's kind of stupid, if I remember correctly.
Oh, boy. It's real stupid, but we'll get to it.
Uh-huh.
The website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. And I think that's all for now.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.